Kid Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black? And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes sometimes?
That's right.
When we gonna start to see from someone else's eyes? I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love, undivided. Oh yeah, undivided. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Come on.
Oh yeah, undivided. Oh yeah.
You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell.
Oh yeah.
Top of the second hour. Today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, September 29th, 2022. The unbroken thread. You know, when you see it, all of a sudden, it makes sense. So, you know, I've talked about things like the liberal arts degree. Chris, are you saying that we shouldn't do that and we shouldn't be literate and all of that? Absolutely not. Just be discerning. Just use, you know, discernment. That's all. And again, you know, I mean, it's the biblical context and concept of discernment, because, you know, it is a spiritual battle first and foremost. That's what's going on. Dark forces, mysterious forces working from beyond the pale of the visible realm that we see. That's just a fact. Well, how can you say that? Well, I mean, like Lark said, how else do you explain this thread of folks that I would just call ungodly? Because in basically every case of all of these names, I think I'll put together a collection of names. It's all of the people that have been revered, particularly, you know, in the West over the last 500 years. So how do you explain that I would just call them all ungodly? They're certainly not what I would call Orthodox Christians. There's always some kind of, well, I was raised in an Orthodox Christian home, and then all of a sudden he became famous because he was kicked out of town as a heretic and an apostate. Kicked out of town after town. He led a life of wandering after that. What happened? So many of these. Why are we celebrating these people then? Why are they revered? Why? And so, you know, is it a conspiracy? Absolutely. Lark proved it with their own documentation, the American Society for Cybernetics, from the 6th century BC forward, an unbroken thread. So, cybernetics, what is it? You know, it's the rudder used by the helmsman. Who's the helmsman? Adam Smith, you know, that part of the thread is, you know, Adam Smith in 1776, Adam Smith's the American Society for Cybernetics timeline that Lark was talking about yesterday. Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations is published, introducing the metaphor invisible hand guiding affairs. What do you know about that? Whose invisible hand? You mean the one in Karl Marx's jacket? That one? Why is his hand in his jacket? Who, what normal person that you know ever took a photo? Hold on, wait. This is a really important photo. Let me stick my hand in my jacket. Whoever did that? Whoever did that? No one you know. Go through your photos. We've taken many photos these days. Go through your photos and see if anybody with a jacket paused and went, hold on a second. Let me just slip my hand in my jacket real quick. All right, ready. Go ahead. Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations is published, introducing the metaphor of the invisible hand guiding affairs. Who is the helmsman? So Charles Baudelaire says, the finest trick of the devil is to persuade you that he does not exist. Faust, right, or Goethe writes Faust. Musicians sing about going down to the crossroads and, you know, making their Faustian bargain. You know, guys like Bob Dylan talked to, was it Morley Safer, I think? Made a deal, you know, with the chief of, you know, all of this. Really? The chief dude, the head dude, chief dude, you know, the one that tried to broker a deal with Jesus in the wilderness. I will give you all this. It was apparently appealing to Bob Dylan and many other folks. That's the conspiracy. It is a spiritual battle. And here is the unbroken thread throughout the last 500 years for sure. The entire history of the West has been an incubator of this. So, you know, use discernment. Hebrews 5, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant, but solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Have your senses trained to discern good and evil. We are in a state where evil abounds and we're told that it's good. Isaiah 5, woe to them who put good for evil and evil for good, light for dark, dark for light, bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. Those are the times we're in. You know? Where is America in the Bible and Bible prophecy? How about Revelation chapter 7, verse starting in verse 14, the message to Laodicea, or, you know, same kind of thing in the book of Colossians. Speaking of Colossians and the epistles of John, the Colossian heresy, this is from the notes in my Bible, and I've mentioned this before, but, you know, from Paul's counter-emphases in the epistle, we can discern some of the features of the false teaching at Colossae, or Colossae. It was syncretistic. What a coincidence. This unbroken thread. And we could go back to 1st century AD on the timeline. Oh, yep, they have some entries over at the American Society for Cybernetics. And there are other specifics that we could add to their timeline. Who is the helmsman steering the rudder that is invisible? You can't see it. If you're in the ship, even if you look over the side, you can't see it. Little tiny thing steering the ship. Who is the helmsman? So continuing, it was syncretistic, fusing Jewish legalism, Greek philosophic speculation. That's the, you know, Gnostic and Kabbalistic combination that I'm talking about. And Oriental mysticism, because there's that too, speaking of monism. You know, and again, it's just, I mean, it's simple. It's really not as, you know, mystical as it's made out to be. It's, you know, can we, it's a morbid preoccupation with creation and also the creator and his attributes, but not in an effort to know him, just to know about him. So we can, you know, basically so we can sort of not steal, but really steal is the word, but just kind of, hijack these characteristics that we can then use, leverage to our advantage kind of thing, which again culminates in Psalm 2, and that's coming. It was syncretistic, fusing Jewish legalism, Greek philosophic speculation, and Oriental mysticism. Specifics include dietary and Sabbath observances and circumcision rites, the worship of angels, and the practice of asceticism, which stemmed from the belief that the body was inherently evil. And that's an interesting thing, because we hear that now. And that's one of the things that is peddled by these charlatans, the so-called experts, the philosopher kings, technocrats. You know, the Yuval Noah Hararis. Well, you know, we just have all these millions and millions of useless people. That's not what God says. The Bible says that he knew us before the foundation of the earth, that he numbered the hairs on each one of our heads, numbered them. And that's different. So, you know, that's the message you get when you read his book, when you read his message to each and every one of us. It's different. It's in contrast to this cultural Marxist nonsense that says, well, you know, you're broken, and so you're left in your brokenness. But you know what? We can perfect man. So that's okay. Maybe if we merge with technology, maybe enough neural laces and enough other technology, you know, like Lark was saying about the religions. I had a thought about that too. I can't remember what it was. We've got new religions being formed, created right now, because of the marriage of man and machine. Exactly. I mean, for Pete's sake, you know, nothing, if nothing else, you know, you think of the curious case of Anthony Lewandowski. You know? New church, speaking of new church, new thought. Way of the future, a new church worships an AI god. One day, superintelligences may be advanced enough to be considered divine. You know, all of this AI stuff is a put-up job. It's a way to bring hell on earth, to bring, you know, demonic forces through the technology. That's what it is. And DARPA's been working to give them bodies, you know, swarming nano particles that can assemble themselves that we've seen in futuristic sci-fi books and movies for decades. How can we inhabit something without it having the potential of, you know, crying out to God and repenting and then being expelled from that body? What can we do about that? I know. Swarming nanobots, that's what we'll do. And the irony is the Jordy Roses and the Anthony Lewandowskis don't realize that they're useful tools as well. And at some point, you've all know a Harari's, you know, his point will be directed at them too. Now we have more useless people, according to these efforts. So you're not, I'm not, we're not useless. Despite what Yuval Noah Harari says, God feels otherwise. And so to know him is to know his peace and his joy, regardless of circumstances. In combating this heresy, my notes say, Paul emphasizes the cosmic significance of Christ as Lord of creation and head of the church. Any teaching practice, and you know, that's sort of exclusionary. It's interesting. You know, you go back to Romans and this Christian concept of the church, you got to be careful because, like Paul talks about, you know, there is this grafting in, but you know, the vine predates the grafting, if you know what I mean. And like Paul mentions, you know, if he's able to do graft the unnatural in, he's also able to graft the natural in. So it's, you know, this sounds exclusionary. This sounds like replacement theology. Well, they were the chosen people, but now these are the chosen people. They're all the chosen people. God says that, you know, he broke down the barrier and there is no distinction. He is no respecter of persons. Anyway. Any teaching practice or intermediary that detracts from the uniqueness and centrality of Christ is against the faith. I think that's a good point. That's it, there in a nutshell. And that's what ends up happening. That's what the theosophists do these days. Oh no, we quote Christ all day long. He was a great teacher, just like Buddha. No, like this note says, any teaching practice or intermediary that detracts from the uniqueness and centrality of Christ is against the faith. And this is to, again, this is not a Sunday morning thing in keeping with the history lesson. This is to say that's kind of the essence of the Christian faith, basically. You know, it's Christ at the center of the Christian faith, hence the word. Any teaching practice or intermediary that detracts from the uniqueness and centrality of Christ is against the faith. He who does not have the Son does not have the Father. Speaking of the epistles of John, and speaking of that, a final note, and then I'll move on. The note in my Bible on in 1 John says, Gnosticism, the heresy of Gnosticism had begun to make inroads among churches in John's day. Among its teachings were 1, knowledge is superior to virtue. 2, the non-literal sense of Scripture is correct and can be understood only by a select few. Have you heard that recently? Yes, you have. 3, evil in the world precludes God's being the only creator. Again, mesotheism and distheism. 4, the incarnation is incredible because deity cannot unite itself with anything material such as a body. That's docetism. And 5, there is no resurrection of the flesh. The ethical standards of many Gnostics were low. So John emphasized the reality of the incarnation and the high ethical standard of the earthly life of Christ. Stick around, we'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and 5 easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
To be done, dear comrades. It's interesting, you know, in contrast to all of this trying, you know, getting and knowing and trying to do these things and divine these things, you know, you have Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. What? That sounds strange. Why would I want to do that? And Paul says, you know, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, which sounds strange to people, but you know, maybe that's a little far out for this context, but maybe not. So anyway, what comes before that I may know him? Why? So what comes before that? Maybe we'll talk about that. I keep mentioning what is to be done. You know, to see this, I think, is helpful. I think it's very, very helpful. And, you know, again, this is the anti-gaslighting. We have been gaslighted. And I'll come back to what is to be done. But, you know, here, speaking of the conversation that Lark and I were having about Emanuel Swedenborg, John S. Haller has written some interesting things, Fictions of Certitude, Science, Faith, and the Search for Meaning. And Joshua Bennett did a review for Oxford University Press. And it's interesting. The article before that by Karen Kuo at ASU is interesting too. These are very bright young people. So John S. Haller, Fictions of Certitude, Science, Faith, and the Search for Meaning, a review by Joshua Bennett, Lincoln College, University of Oxford. Haller presents a learned, lively, and rewarding book about 19th century European and North American intellectuals' search for certitude in social, moral, and religious problems as the divinities of science and technology reshaped patterns of life that had for centuries been patched together with furtive theological stitching. That's an excerpt. That's a quote. You know, some of these are quotes from Haller's book. Patterns of life that had for centuries been patched together with furtive theological thinking. Once you see what's going on, the picture that I'm trying to present, you realize that, you know, what the temptation by the devil, you know, of Jesus in the wilderness is not an overstatement, or 1 John 5:19, the whole world is in the power of the evil one, not an overstatement. We have been operating like a beehive or an ant colony for a long time. So this says Haller's account centers on intellectual responses of 9 critics to the possibility that nature was empty of divine purpose. Shall I take a thing so blind, embrace her as my natural good, or crush her like a vice of blood upon the threshold of the mind? Confronted with versions of the question that Tennyson posed in memoriam, AHH, Haller's subjects poured ideas of ultimate reality into the world of inner experience and scientific observation. Inner experience, scientific observation. Again, that's the empirical stuff that they've been talking about. We don't want any of this foundational bedrock stuff in the Bible. We want to move in dialectical fashion. How can we move society away from that to the, you know, to make new rules? And that's funny because that's exactly what the devil has been intending to do for a long, long time. As I wrote in my piece, The Sons of God, or Sons of God, not The Sons of God, but Sons of God, as part of its strategy, this encroachment works tirelessly to bring about the abolition of monarchy and all ordered government. That's a quote. This encroachment seeks to abolish all aspects of the old order, so to speak, to create a new power and every other aspect of society, a new power vacuum into which to insert its new order. The new age requires new priests and new laws. The devil's been hard at work at implementing the plan with unbridled hubris. Hebrews 7:12, for when the priesthood is changed of necessity, there takes place a change of law also. Stick around, I'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one, RAD. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
For a long time. Again, Hebrews 7:12, when the priesthood is changed, of necessity there takes place a change of law also. And together with that, Daniel 7:25, he will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One, and he will intend to make alterations in times and in law, and they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. So, attempting to make these changes. It's been in the works for quite a while. So from this book review, kind of the Cliff's Notes of Haller's Fictions of Certitude, Science, Faith, and the Search for Meaning. Bennett writes, all our subjects poured ideas of ultimate reality into the world of inner experience and scientific observation, situating the scientific method within higher frameworks of ethical commitment. I would say allegedly, ostensibly, in their attempts to answer it. The resulting book is not exactly a history of science, nor is it a survey of religious ideas. Rather, it is a study of the ways in which contemporary intellectuals had their being within a kind of continuum, a dialectical continuum perhaps. Is it going somewhere? See, it's always, if we presume the accidental version of history, well, then we don't see the big picture. It is a study of the ways in which contemporary intellectuals had their being within a kind of continuum between scientific and religious ways of thinking. It was a condition that tended to yield grand syntheses of science, reason, and religious feeling that sought to demonstrate or evoke the rationality of the universe. And this gets back, I think it touches on some things that Lark said yesterday and he said before. It's definitely what I've said. Basically, this whole, it's the Neoplatonic way. It's the Gnostic way to construe science and technology as God, scientism, a pseudo-scientific pursuit that ultimately is scientism, and make all of this shiny, flashy stuff appear like it's the new suddenly we have sort of outgrown God, and the belief in God and the Bible is superstitious, to sort of cast that implicitly as superstition. And oh yeah, you believe that. And so that's part of the handicapping that I was talking about yesterday, that I think Lark spoke to when he said what he's seen happening in America and throughout his life is that Christians, by and large, have been corrupted. I would say diluted, watered down as much as anything, which again reminds one of Jesus' letter to the church at Laodicea. Wish that you're hot or cold. You're lukewarm. You're watered down. Don't know what John said when he called in today. You don't realize. You haven't even shown up. You haven't even suited up. You're here. Suit up. Snap out of it. You're not the elephant chained to the stake, for Pete's sake. Just because the Martin Seligmans tell you, learned helplessness is the order of the day and you've been conquered in your mind before the battle starts, doesn't mean you shouldn't suit up and show up. Suit up. Show up. So it's this effort, this subtle, implicit effort to construe, a belief in the God of the Bible and to take him at his word and pursue him as he desires and as he encourages, and the things that the natural outflow of that, so to speak, what occurs as a result of that naturally. And as I concluded the piece that I wrote, it's this, it's that power. What happens? The power of God. What happens if his people show up? Not in their own strength, but as his earthen vessels. Not fearing anything, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not expecting any result, not fearing any consequence. Now the king says, what are you going to do? About to chuck you in the fire, about to chuck you in the furnace. Who's going to save you now? And they said, he is able, our God is able, but even if he doesn't change anything. They don't care. They're not, you know, they're not paling in terror. Please don't. We'll bow. Please don't. That changes things. So it's not a Sunday thing. It's a history thing. And it's making the contrast. You know, this, what I'm talking about is the actual faith. That's what is portrayed in the Bible. So, you know, for anybody who has thrown the baby out with the bathwater and this sounds different, maybe reinvestigate. Maybe grab a copy of the King James. Start in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and say, please, you know, reveal yourself. Please, I humbly. So, continuing. It is a study of the ways in which contemporary intellectuals had their being within a kind of continuum between scientific and religious ways of thinking. It was a condition that tended to yield grand syntheses of science, reason, and religious feeling that sought to demonstrate or evoke the rationality of the universe. Haller approaches this larger theme throughout chapter-length case studies of individual thinkers. His choice of critic focuses on Europeans who variously accepted the change was normal and potentially constructive, potentially, ostensibly, and on their American counterparts who worked to free understandings of cosmos and society from, quote, dogma and irrational restraints in Gnostic and Kabbalistic fashion they worked, in esoteric fashion they worked. For whom? Who's the helmsman of the rudder? Three chapters are dedicated to figures remembered chiefly as sociologists: Auguste Comte, Herbert Spencer, and Lester Ward. Biology naturally features prominently here embodied in Thomas Henry Huxley and Alfred Russell Wallace. You know, okay, so the eugenicists and the eliminationists, okay. The Yuval Noah Hararis. There are just all of these useless people. Yeah, not useless. Haller also offers accounts of William James' psychology. Remember, CFR president Richard N. Gardner, quoting William James, "The Hard Road to World Order will be a great booming, buzzing confusion." Psychology, John Henry Newman's philosophy of religion and the adventures in cosmic philosophy comes sociology of John Fiske and Paul Karras. A final chapter is devoted chiefly to the development of North American theosophy and its integration of progressivism with the occult. And that's one of the things that I've tried to emphasize in recent years. You know, you go back same time, 100 years ago, and that whole fundamentalist modernist controversy, so-called, the manufacturing of two sides of a conflict, an entirely engineered, orchestrated, so-called conflict. The theosophists and progressives were, well, that's redundant. And so you have high profile folks. I've mentioned this before. For example, Wikipedia entry for Henry Agard Wallace, 33rd vice president. How coincidental. That number finds its way into so many things. It's just a coincidence. ...1932 presidential election, 1933-40, 33rd vice president. Sacred geometry, Henry Agard Wallace from the Wikipedia entry. Remember, he was he founded the Hybrid Corn Company. A hybrid corn company became extremely successful. GMO? Yeah. I think I would be remiss if I didn't mention things like Lark would appreciate it if I did and not appreciate it if I didn't. 1930, speaking of this era, British ecologist Alfred Tansley coins the term ecosystem in 1935. So we should mention that. Oh, we're in a... Oh, okay. There was something else I was going to mention in conjunction with that. Don't remember what it was. So from the Wikipedia entry for Henry Agard Wallace. Continuing, Wallace displayed intellectual curiosity about a wide array of subjects. Oh, he was a Gnostic, Kabbalistic, esoteric, mystic, including statistics and economics, technocrat, and explored various religious and spiritual movements, including theosophy. Isn't that something? So there's that. Continuing, skipping down, this is the vice president. This is FDR's vice president. Truman was a 33rd degree Mason, right? Speaking of FDR vice president. So accusations of communist influence followed in Wallace's association with the controversial theosophist figure Nicholas Roerich undermined his campaign. And I think the simplest way to think of communism is as I have sort of defined it, the counterfeit of Acts chapter 2, the Pentecostal moment. The Pentecostal charismatic stuff and New Apostolic Reformation, that's all a counterfeit of the Acts chapter 2. Really? Yeah, absolutely. That's why I'm not joking or trying to embellish or be hyperbolic or exaggerate when I say, you know, so I have a friend who said, my youngest daughter's going off to, you know, she just got married. That's great. Congratulations. And she's moving. And, you know, she's looking for a church. And I said, man, that's tough. He goes, yeah, it's really tough. I said, because, you know, the vast majority of folks are low-level Kabbalists, Gnostics, Satanists, essentially, and they don't even know it. Because they're not, like John said earlier, they're not reading his word and just taking him at his word and not listening to these commandments and teachings of men and traditions of men, which the Bible says far too often are tantamount to doctrines of demons. So Nicholas Roerich figures prominently in Wallace's background. And, you know, continuing, Henry Wallace reportedly dabbled in Zoroastrianism and Buddhism, which is the same stuff. It's theosophy. And just continue. I mean, you can go to the Wikipedia entry for Henry Wallace and see the section titled Mysticism and Roerich Controversy. Wallace began regularly attending meetings of the pantheistic Theosophical Society, Gnostic, Kabbalistic, you know, satanic. In 1925, he helped organize the Des Moines Parish of the Liberal Catholic Church. Wallace left the Liberal Catholic Church. What is the Liberal Catholic Church, speaking of the so-called fundamentalist-modernist controversy? What were they doing? You know, this is kind of, if you want to call it the religious aspect of Pistrito's piece, the Birth of the Administrative State, when Pistrito says, In fact, the Progressive Era architects of the administrative state understood what they were doing quite clearly as they made advocacy of this new approach to government and religion and like all aspects of life an important part of their direct, open, comprehensive attack on not just the American Constitution, but the Bible, Christendom, as Lark said yesterday. That's it's warfare, and it's we've been on the front lines of the long war for generations now, and we're asleep, been hypnotized and lulled to sleep, like Sun Tzu said. You know, if you can win before fighting the battle, man, that's really something. Stick around, we'll be right back.
California has gone completely crazy with its environmental policies. We already know that California has banned the sale of new gas-powered cars by 2035. Last week, the California Public Utility Commission voted unanimously to remove subsidies to builders who are installing gas lines for new construction starting in 2023. Also last week, the California Air Resources Board approved a proposal that would ban new gas-fueled furnaces and water heaters in homes by 2030. In short, California is now attacking clean-burning natural gas. The state that has rolling blackouts every summer and tells people not to charge their electric cars is trying to eliminate every alternative to the unreliable electric grid. California is actively trying to send itself and its residents back to the 19th century before electricity with no alternatives. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Welcome back.
Beyond the suns that guard this.
Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast to the phones. Real quick, Fred in Michigan, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, Chris, great to hear your voice, and I hope...
Yours too.
Thank you. I hope Brother Fred is Fred and Iowa is doing okay. Yeah, it's always great to hear his voice and hear his input. Chris, I spied on BitChute an astonishing documentary, and it pertains to much of the subject matter you've been discussing, relative to externalization of the hierarchy and all that, and its ancient roots. Well, in this presentation on BitChute, the cultural genocide of Christianity, synagogue of Satan protocol. The citations, the references, the sources that this man, this is End Times Watchman, by the way, End Times Watchman. I just happened to flick over to the 39-second mark, and this is Education Day 2018. Trump meets with Shabbat Lubavitch rabbis in the Oval Office.
Education the Hasidic Day contingent.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me?
The Hasidic contingent. It's interesting that we have sort of radical fundamentalists everywhere. Adam Kinzinger talks about the Christian Taliban. I would say that he, you know, his point is well founded. We have the Wahhabi Salafi contingent. We have this Hasidic contingent. We have radicals everywhere. I wonder how that happened. Anyway.
Yeah. How it happens is fully elucidated in this presentation. Everyone who has ears to hear this, if they're listening now, including Lark in Texas, the cultural genocide of Christianity, synagogue of Satan protocol, just the first 10 minutes. I think it's like a 30-some minute presentation. But, and you know, I want to also call your attention to Chris Switzer's, you know, he and you together makes RBN you know, what's that big mountain? Everest. Uh-huh. Everest mountain above all other broadcasts. This is what has to happen. We have to deprogram with the essential facts. And presentations that you've been giving all along are absolutely masterful, and I thank you for that, Chris.
Thank you, Fred. Much appreciated. Much appreciated. In conclusion, I would say, you know, I think of Thomas McNeice when he was pressed during the Reese Committee hearings. He said, the first thing I would do to find experts is to look into their background and training and find their particular types of views held or expounded before I would do anything else. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Hello, I'm Peter Serafine, and I'm the new host of National Intel Report on Thursdays here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm a gun-owning constitutionalist who believes that the only role of government is to protect my rights. I believe the First Amendment makes us free, and the Second Amendment keeps us free. If those ideas sound good to you, then join me in the National Intel Report, Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.